pray that you'd bless this message to our hearts, our ears.
Good morning. I'm B.J. Stagner, pastor of Center Chapel Independent Baptist Church. I hope and pray that today's
sermon
is a wonderful blessing to your heart and your soul. I want to encourage you to stay tuned at the conclusion of today's message for some vital information for you personally and those that are around you. So without further ado, here's today's sermon.
Amen. Oh, man. Thank you so much. Please be seated if you will. Darkness, guys. Darkness is not knowing man's end or purpose in life. Now, the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Light is knowing the truth and reality of man's purpose in being, as well as man's end. But the forces of evil are the rulers of darkness, the things that we're dealing with. They are the rulers that seek to blind the minds of men from the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who seek to blind the minds of women who seek the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who look to blind the minds and the hearts of children who may be saved and receive the free gift of eternal salvation. My friend, the forces of evil are spiritual forces of wickedness, which seek to receive the loyalty and devotion that is only due to God. Guys, it is man's spirit, or the being a man, if you will, that is to offer such loyalty and worship and devotion to God and God alone. I mean, therefore, the spirit of man is that which is the spiritual forces that wickedness wants to attack. Wickedness wants to attack the spirit of mankind. It wants to come into your being. It wants to attack that. And therefore, you must defend the spirit of man. Defend your being that is inside of you. Now, as you've seen, I've mentioned that about spiritual warfare and it being our battle on the gridiron of life. And a gridiron is another word for an American football field, or a pitch, as we would say, for a rugby pitch, if you will. But in the game of American football, there are several types of defensive schemes, okay? There's a 4-3, a 4-2, a 3-5, a 5-3. There's a 5-0, a 50 defense. There's all kinds of defensive schemes. And the reason you have those numbers is based upon the amount of men that you have on the front line, the amount of men that you have on what you would call the back row, if you will, and those who are covering, either a cover 2, cover 5, cover 3, cover 1, and those different types of schemes. It's all in place. And I'm not even going to try to explain all of it to you tonight, because I could probably spend the next 30 minutes going over just one defensive scheme, one defensive play, one defensive pass coverage, and you would know no more about it than you did when you walked in tonight. But there are different patterns and schemes on a football field. And it's no different than our life. When we look at spiritual warfare and the battle that we have in the gridiron of our life, we're going to see not only the attack of the opponent and where it leads in our life, but you're going to see the needed weapons on the defensive front to defeat the devil, to defend what we call the goal line. Now, this is the goal line. This is a good example. The purple part will be the area where the offense is trying to get. They want to get past that little, well, it's not going to show, that little white line right there. That's called the goal line, or the try line, if you want to put it in rugby terms. The defensive side of the ball, their duty is to keep the offensive out of what is called the end zone, out of that purple area, out of that area. That's where you want to keep them away from. It's called a goal line stand, okay? And you want to keep them as far as you can away from there. You want to keep them from, you're defending that side of the field. And the other side of the goal line, guys, that's where we must take our stand, is to keep the offensive weapons away from it. In our life, what lies beyond that goal line and where we must take a stand, that goal line can be equated to what lies on the other side as our home, our life, our family, our mind, our way of living, our witness, our biblical standards, our church attendance. Listen, if the devil knows that sending a friend to your house is going to keep you out of church, he's going to send a friend to your house. Amen. The end zone is where the spirit of man resides. The spirit of mankind is what must be defended. The spirit of mankind is what you must stand in front of and guard it and protect it with every fiber of defensive weapon and the one offensive weapon that we possess, that being the Word of God. Your home should be guarded and protected by tooth and, I mean, with every tooth, blood, sweat, and tears, man. Your life, your family should be protected with every fiber of your being. Your way of living for the Lord Jesus Christ should be guarded, and you shouldn't allow anything in to come against it. Your witness. Now, I can sit here and I can park on this. My friend, if you are a non-truth teller, now words are tools, amen? Words are tools. There's ways. I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers telling this story one time. He said he was on the way home from a revival one time. I may have told this story already. I'm going to repeat it. He was on the way home from preaching a revival, and he had a headlamp that was out. Headlamp was out in his car, and he got pulled over by a police officer late at night. And the police officer pulled him over, and he said, "Hey, sir, you know what? You got a headlamp that is out." And you know what he said? He said, "I got a headlamp that's out?" Well, he didn't say, "I don't have a headlamp that is out." But he had the right type of inflection of his voice to produce a question to the officer while saying the same word that wasn't a question. But in his heart of hearts, he knew it was a lie. And he got convicted by that. And if I remember the story correctly, I believe after the officer gave him the warning, he turned around and went back and found the officer and apologized and repented to him. I wonder if any of us would do that. I wonder if we would do that. You say, what do you mean? What does that have to do with our witness? If your words can't be believed about the smallest things, they're not going to be believed about the largest things. Amen? Words are tools. My staff at my office, when I told them when I hired them, I would never require you to lie for me. Because if you lie for me, you're going to lie to me. And lying to me was grounds for dismissal like that. Because if you'll lie to me, you'll lie about me. You understand what I'm saying? That's what's on the other side of that goal line. That's what's on the other side. That's what you're defending is your witness. You're defending your biblical standards. Now, I know the temptation in the world today is like, well, you know, let's just get along with everyone. I don't mind getting along with someone. I can get along with a porcupine as long as he keeps his little, whatever those things are called, where they go, amen. And I can get along with you as long as you keep your wrong doctrine to yourself. Amen, preacher. Now, you want to start pulling out the loss of salvation? You want to start pulling out mid-trib garbage? You want to start pulling out perversions of the Holy Scripture? We're not going to get along very long, amen? I don't mean to sound, you know, angry or haughty or anything like that. But, buddy, I don't need friendship that bad, amen, to lower my biblical standards. I'm not going to do it. But we want to in this world. People in this world, the temptation is to lower your biblical standards so you can gather more people. And that's just not how it works. That's what the devil's trying to do. We have this in our mind. The spiritual warfare is always going to be blood, sweat, and tears. That it's always going to be with the guy that's ugly and hideous and he's got the horns and he's drooling all over the place. It ain't like that. 9 times out of 10, the devil shows up nice, sweet, and beautiful. Amen. 9 times out of 10, the devil shows up smelling like lavender. Well, that smells good, right? And just sneaks right in. You see, we know the tricks of his trade. We're not ignorant to his devices, but we've got to be aware by setting our standards where they belong. We've got to protect them. And again, I say this, guys, the end zone is where the spirit of man is, and that's what you need to defend. Defensive players have responsibilities. They have gap responsibilities. They have player responsibilities. The offensive players, they have a job to do as well. The offensive line is going to try to keep the defensive player from fulfilling their responsibilities, okay? And they're going to do that in every way, shape, form, or fashion. So when an offensive side, when they begin their attack, they're trying to destroy you. They're trying to attack you to knock you down so they can get on the other side of that goal line. So they can get in that end zone and tear up the spirit of man and tear down your witness and tear down your home, tear down your life, tear down your family, your way of living, your biblical standards. But you know what they're going to do also? They send decoys out. Anybody that's ever watched a rugby seven match, you've seen when they run that. It's fast-paced. It's real big out in California, and I love watching rugby sevens. But you'll see those guys when they do that crisscross, and they do a little bit of a kick. The ball goes about 15 feet up in the air, and that's it. And you think it's going to go to one person, and next thing you know, a guy sneaks in behind him, and he gets in there. This guy was a decoy. In football, we do it all the time. We run fakes. We run guys on post corner when you're going to throw somebody to a flag. You run 5 yard in and out. You do these things, and half the time on the field, everybody on the field is either blocking or tackling or they're running decoys, and there's one person who's trying to get on the other side of that goal line. That's what your life is made up of. You've got things that are trying to distract you, trying to confuse you. The Bible tells me that God is not the author of confusion. So if God is not the author of confusion and you have confusion in your life, where is it coming from? Not God. Amen? The defensive player's duty is to defend the goal line. F.F. Bruce said that Satan and his demonic forces rank among the highest prices in the hierarchy of heavenly places. These forces, guys, these forces owe their entire existence to Jesus Christ, and yet they are demonic, trying to destroy the creation of God. These forces are responsible for the wickedness of this world, the evil in this world, for the wrongdoing in this world, all of the selfishness in this world. Wicked, demonic forces are responsible for it. All the division that we see in life. I don't care whether it's political, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, physical. Every bit of division that you see in the world today, it is rooted and grounded in the movement of satanic forces. Anger. My friend used to always say that anger is one letter away from danger. Amen. Hatred. Pride. All areas of pride is nothing but pure wickedness. Arrogance. War. Killings. Arguing, selfishness, immorality, stealing, lying, cursing, bitterness, rebellion, you name it, all of these things are rooted and grounded in the wickedness of this world. And they're coming into your life trying to attack you, trying to get on the other side of that goal line so that they may take over your life. Amen. When the strong man is bound, the Lord Jesus Christ said. I mean, the list could go on. It's the evil man that consumes the media today. The news reports are full of nothing but wickedness in society. And you know what they're doing? They're giving a wicked society exactly what they want to hear. Doesn't matter what it's true anymore. They just want something bad. When's the last time you turned the news on and there was some great, glorious, wonderful story, some positive, uplifting story? You didn't get that. Oh, great, we saved 4,000 butterflies today. Then all of a sudden, 4,000 people were killed. And that's what everybody's running over here to see, the blood. You know, one of the things that just gets all over me, and Denise, I'm not a very happy traveler. I mean, I do really well on an open road with nobody else. Amen? That's the only child coming out of me. Praise the Lord. You know, I wish every red light would explode on the planet. You know, I think roundabout should be everywhere. I love them. But what I can't stand, besides being behind learners, Toyota Priuses, I'm just kidding. What I really can't stand is when there is a wreck on the side of the road, six lanes over, other side, nowhere near, and every rubbernecker in their head stops to gawk, to look. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for somebody else's misery. They're looking to get their little jollies off seeing pain in someone else because they're sinful, wicked people. You say, preacher, I'm just looking. Yeah, you're just looking to see what you can go tell. Man, I saw a guy's arm was falling off. I saw that. Man, just carry on. Amen. Yeah, I absolutely despise that because I think it's a trait of mankind where mankind wants to see the misery of others. And I believe it is rooted and grounded in demonic forces. Guys, the news reports are filled with it. Numbers of killings, the numbers of those who robbed, failed marriages, fallen heroes, lying congressmen, lying people in parliament, I mean, the brokenhearted, all the things that goes on in the world. That's what fills our media today because that's what people want to hear and what they want to see. The Bible tells us this, Ephesians 6:12 in your text. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, beloved, the forces of evil are identified in that verse. The forces of evil that every single one of us are going to deal with, wrestle with, and struggle with are listed in that verse. It says we deal with principalities. The first ones is what the word principality means. The preeminent ones or the leaders. That's what we're dealing with. That's what you're dealing with. In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord tells Ezekiel to take lamentation up against the prince of Tyre. And then several verses down, it says, take lamentations up against the king of Tyre. And he goes on to describe the devil himself. And you got to sit back and go, whoa, wait a second. Well, if the devil's the king, who is the prince? The prince is the earthly king, the physical person. The real king is the satanic forces behind him. We're dealing with principalities, these first ones, these preeminent ones, these leaders is what we're doing. We're dealing with powers in this world, or authorities, if you will. The devils of Satan in the lower atmosphere of creation that constitute the kingdoms of the air. This is what we're dealing with in spiritual warfare. The rulers of the darkness of this world, the Bible speaks of, Satan and his little minions, his little devils. He says spiritual wickedness in high places. My friend, never confuse and think that the devil doesn't have demonic forces throughout this world. Don't think that he doesn't have them running and ripping and in the. I'm going to tell you that if there was a way to develop a demonic or a demon, if you will, a devil monitor that could just you could hold up and you could get a measure of how many devils are bouncing around in some of the places that some people go to, amen. I mean, they'd be all over the place, amen. Would it not be for the Holy Spirit of God, He would have His way and His will with us today, God. Because He is God, must tell us the truth. He must tell us what we're dealing with. He cannot do otherwise. He cannot give us half the story. Therefore, He reveals to us the fact that it is clearly evident that any other fact on earth, that there is an evil force in this world today, that evil force can, will, and does have access to the spirit of man, and that access is utilized to enslave man to the sins of this life. The head of that force is Satan, the real entity, or the real entity, if you will, in this life. Satan is not just a spirit floating around. He's not just an idea. He's not just an adversary. Or get this, an opposite way of thinking. So, new modern Satanism teaches people, well, we don't worship the devil. We just think opposite of the world. You know what? That's what Anton LaVey said in 1969 when he formed the Church of Satan and he wrote the Satanic Bible. He says, learn to write backwards. Learn to think backwards. Learn to think opposite to everything in society. Why? Because our society was founded on biblical principles. Our laws are founded on a biblical idea, on biblical laws. But he wants you to teach you and think backwards and think opposite. Why? Because he wants you to think opposite of God. Oh, we don't worship Satan, they say. I said this last week, and I still hold to it. If you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping Satan. We live in a culture today that is merely indifferent to Christianity. Let's be honest, guys. Most of the people in our immediate area right here, they are not antagonistic. All right? They are not necessarily antagonistic. We have a few that are. But they're not out here protesting the church. They're not, I mean, they just don't care. That's what it is. They are indifferent, amen. It doesn't matter. If they're indifferent, then they may as well be bowing at Baphomet. You see, beloved, we deal with rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in this world. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's the word Satan means, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know who he may devour? Those that are opening up the door for him to devour. Those that are putting things in their ears and their eyes and going places and saying things and allowing their imagination to wander off in directions and taking it away from the biblical standards of the Word of God. And we'll tell you, the devil's going to make a muck of you. The devil's going to have his way with you. He's going to have a way with your life. He's going to do whatever he wants to do with your family, your home, and he's going to just seek to destroy you. Notice in verse 13 in our text tonight, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Because of this truth, because we find that the adversary of the devil is walking about, God gives us our only hope for survival, and that is simply to put on the whole armor of God. You either got it on or you don't. Verse 13. Wherefore, taking of you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having done all. Beloved, at the end of the day, you've got to be able to say, preacher, I've done all to stand, and he still had his way with me. And you know whether or not you have done that. I gave you the illustration here a couple of weeks ago of what I had to do in training when I was in high school and then my years in college. And my dad would sit me down and say, you got X amount of days until the first season. Every time you skip a day training, your opponent's not going to skip that day. And when you meet him on the battlefield, you're going to lose. Amen? If I trained every single day at my optimal pace, and I worked out and I trained hard, and I worked out and I trained hard, and I worked out and I trained hard, and I did everything that I could humanly do possible, and I still lost on the field of battle, I've done all to stand. But if I skipped one day, 1 hour, I can't say that I did all. Now, the Lord has told us here, by way of Paul, through the Holy Spirit of God, by inspiration, the exact words that we need to know. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Not half an armor, not part an armor, not a shoe, not a glove. He says, the whole armor of God, and the whole armor of God is the answer to having done all to stand in that evil day. If you think you're going to grab the helmet of salvation, and you're going to go out there buck wild and into a battlefield, you're going to lose. Amen. You may be saved and born again, and praise God, you're going to go to heaven, but you're going to lose that battle in the day of war. So we must put on the whole armor of God. It is an absolute necessity. Why? Because of the evil day. What is an evil day? What's an evil day? What does that necessarily mean? Well, evil day is today. Very simple. The onslaught of the evil in this world today. And you say, preacher, I've had a great day today. I haven't had any problems, any issues, and that's great. Great for you. But there's worlds without end tonight who have suffered, who have had problems, who have struggled, who have had battles. There are people tonight that are huddled around somewhere trying to survive the next 5 seconds because some evil force is after them to kill them. All because they want to read their Bible. And here we have 6, 7, 8, 9 Bibles at home. Amen? Haven't done all to stand in the evil day. Well, that evil day is today. The Bible tells me, redeeming the times because the days are evil. You say, preacher, this is not uplifting. It ain't supposed to be uplifting. It's supposed to be provoking. Amen. An evil day is any day. Amen. The onslaught of temptations and trials that confront us at any given moment during the day. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you get idle, when you sit there and you're tempted to look at this or do that, or you get angry and you're tempted to do that, whatever it may be, that onslaught can be any day. It may not be today, but it could be any day. There's the day of unusual and atypical temptations. I can't explain this. I don't know why it is what it is. But there are days that seemingly a barrage of evil is just thrown into your life. Some days are just flat worse. I can't tell you why they are. I just know they are. So, brother, look at verse 14 with me tonight. 14, we're going to go over one point this evening. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, we already covered the fact that the Lord makes it clear that we need to put on the whole armor of God, not half of it, in order to withstand in the evil day and haven't done all to stand. So if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you haven't done all and you're not going to stand. So in verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. And this is these loins girt about with truth is a belt that is fixed around the body. Now, I got a little belt on tonight, and this belt serves one purpose, and it tightens up my trousers. It's doing nothing else. Not one thing. Okay? This is not the kind of belt that the Lord is referring to here. A belt was used to hold the soldier's clothing close to his body. It kept it from flapping around and getting in the way, as well as keeping it close to the body that the enemy may gain control by grabbing a hold of it in the midst of battle. But the belt's also used in a manner to increase intercavitary pressure, this thick belt that they would wear around their abdomen. And they would cinch that thing up, if you will, kind of like the ladies in the old days with the girdles or whatnot. But this wouldn't have been big as a girdle. But they would wear this thing, and they would lock that thing down. And it would increase their intercavitary pressure, and it would increase it. It would enable them to stand strong and tall in the midst of battle. It was a sign or a signet, per se. But the belt is not one that's rooted in man's opinions or feelings. This belt that made you stronger, this belt that tightened your abdomen up, this belt that made your back strong and got you ready for battle, is not based on your opinions or your feelings. This belt's not based on your preferences, amen? This belt is not based on, listen to this, a better translation would be, quote, quote, this, that. Doesn't work like that. It's not based on man's subjectivity. It's not based on man's ideas. And it sure ain't based on man's religion. Such types of truths are self-centered and plainly self-destructive. And they will not stand in the midst of battle. Having your loins girt about with truth is the key. Having your loins girt about with the truth is what is going to withstand in the day of battle. The first we find the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Here's some rocket science. How do you stay out of a bar fight? You guys know it. You've heard it. You stay out of a bar. Amen. That's deep science. I know we needed to understand some, you know, physics in the third and fourth level there to get that. But that's how you stay out of a bar fight. You don't go down to the pub with a bunch of other idiots that are down there drinking poison and all this and that, and you get into a fight. You go, I just don't know why I got it. Because you went down there with a bunch of morons. That's why you got into a fight. I'm just going to tell you that's what it is. The truth of the matter is you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't just put the Lord Jesus Christ, you make not provision for the flesh. You can't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if your great temptation is pornography, and walk down the porn aisle at Asda, if they have one. You can't do that. You can't go places where you shouldn't go and do things you shouldn't do and think that you're a match for the Bible, for that midst of battle, if you're going in there making provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But you got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you got to make the decision not to go the places that you shouldn't go. Now, I've covered the physical places, but what about the mental places? What about the virtual places? That's the world we live in today. I mean, you can do everything and anything that the wicked imagination could ever come up with and never leave your house. And people are doing it every single day. You ought not go to those places. Put the Lord Jesus Christ on. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We got to put Jesus on. He's our strength. He's our support. Guys, we're no match for it. I remember counseling with parents years ago about the children. I had one particular family I remember that they just said, we can't stop them from watching the TV. And I said, yeah, you can. I said, take the remote. Well, he finds another way to turn it on. Then I said, cut the cord. Take a pair of scissors, unplug it from the wall, cut it. Now, if that boy figures out how to get electricity to that, you're probably going to come home to a fried child, amen? But he's going to stop watching television one way or another. Take the control of it, amen? Sometimes, guys, dire consequences or dire circumstances require dire consequences, amen? If you can't handle the Internet, get rid of it. It ain't that important. It's a convenience, guys, and I know that it is, and we use it every day. But if you're tempted to go to places on that net that you shouldn't go, cut it off. Be done with it. It's that simple tonight. Put on truth. Have your loins girt about truth. Secondly, truth is the Word of God. The Bible tells me in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. Sanctify them. That word sanctify means set apart. Amen. Cleansed and set apart and separated through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. This is having your loins girt about with truth. Let me go ahead and say it and make it clear, and I know everybody in here believes this. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's it. There is no works, there's no baptism, there's no chosen frozen from the foundation of the planet, amen? I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ, and what He did on the cross, what He did in the tomb, how He rose again, that's your access point to heaven. Doesn't matter what you are, where you are, what you've done. Amen. That's grace. My son sent me a GIF or a meme, whatever things are called. I don't know. I've lost count. You know, I'm probably 3 years behind whatever things are anyway. But he's had a picture of a guy freaking out like this, his face, and he says, this is how the Calvinist reacts when his wife commits adultery on him or she steps out on him. You get that? Well, if that's what happens, that means, it was ordained from the foundation of the world that God chose them to do that. No, that didn't happen, you understand? That's how foolish Calvinism is. Amen? That's how foolish it is. Let me just go ahead and make that clear. We must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must put in the Word of God. Now, we're going to go to this room tonight, and we are in, what month are we in? July is the seventh month, right? We're almost at the end of July. We're almost in the eighth month. And I was asking anybody in here, how many people's almost finished reading their Bible this year? I know you are. You said that's what made me think of it. Nobody raise your hands, okay? I wonder how many of us could say, hey, preacher, I'm almost done. I'm almost finished. Guys, I'm telling you, You need to get all the preaching you can get. Let me back up. You need to get all the good preaching you can get. All right, biblical sound doctrinal preaching you can get. But you need to read that Bible. Preaching on Sunday, preaching on Wednesday is going to give you the food that you need to get through. But you need to sustain that thing every day by reading some part of your Scripture every single day. So we need to put on Jesus Christ. We must put in the Word of God. Thirdly, we need to speak and live a life of truthfulness. Ephesians 4:1 says, Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I mentioned this just a little bit earlier about words are tools, and true words are the measure of what a Christian truly is. Malachi 2:1 says, And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. The Bible tells us that we are a royal priesthood. Amen. If we are a royal priesthood, the commandment of truth is for us. Truth, guys. Having your loins girt about with truth aids and assists the soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ on life's gridiron in several aspects. Truth, guys, keeps the garments from falling or flapping around. It speaks of our defensiveness. It speaks of us being secure and rather than being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and the attack of the enemy. Ephesians 4:4 tells me there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. That's our truth, my friend. The defensive player is not easily distracted by fake or decoy. His eyes are focused and her eyes are focused on the ball, focused on the offense, remaining steadfast, strengthened by truth. Truth keeps us from being entangled with the affairs of this life. 2 Timothy 2:3-4 says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that you may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now we got a few minutes and I want to make sure I'm done. But don't want you to park on that verse just for a second. And you go back in your mind when King David, the greatest king, the man after God's own heart, and was still man after God's own heart, by the way, at the time when the end of the year came, and it was a time, and finish the verse, it was a time when the kings went to battle. But David tarried yet in Jerusalem, did he not? And what did David do? David walked out on his balcony. All the kings are doing their job they were supposed to do. And he walked out in the cool of the night. And what did he do? He let his eyes affect his heart, as Jeremiah tells us. And he looked down. He looked down there in that balcony. And I don't know, maybe he's looking through the window. I don't know. I really never figured out why our bathtub was out on the outside anyway, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe he's looking through a window. But nonetheless, had David been where he belonged, he was in the middle of war. He was in the middle of battle. He was in the middle of... If he had just been warring, he wouldn't have been entangled with the affairs of this life. And that plague would have never entered into his house. The first thing a defensive player must do is execute in the attack and be not entangled with the blocker. Now, those of you who know a little bit about American football, the offense has these blockers. And those blockers are trying to move the defensive players out of the way. They want to break them down so the guy carrying the ball can enter in to the end zone and score the point. Well, that guy's the devil. And all this are the demons. Amen? And so he's just trying to get into the end zone. He's trying to break through that goal line. He's trying to destroy your home. And the last thing you want to do as a defensive player is get tangled up with some 385-pound, 6'9", big, dumb lineman. Oh, I just said that in public. But you don't want to get tangled up with him. You want to get past him. You want to get away from him. Don't get in. If you get entangled up with him, you're done, amen? You're not strong enough. You're not heavy enough. You're not big enough. You can't do it. You got to get him off. And you got to get away. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Get him off and get him away from you. Remember, you're guarding the end zone where the spirit of man is. And Satan will have the victory if he scores. Truth keeps us from being entangled with the affairs of this life. Truth, my friends, supports us in battle. The Bible tells me in John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Can I tell you this right here tonight that I am finished? John 14:1, if you will sink your teeth into that verse, much less into that whole chapter, In the darkest days of battle, in the darkest days of war, in the darkest days in the midst of the things that you are going through, you will have the support that you need by that truth. That Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. My friend, the truth is perfect. It fails not. It will not bend. It will not break under pressure. It will withstand the stress of the battle. So in that evil day, on game day, amen, on match day, if you will, have your loins girt about with truth. That's the first step. That's the first piece of the armor that's going to get you to have the victory in your life. You got to start there. There's a list and there's a reason why Paul goes in the order that he goes in. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit of God inspired Paul to put it on these pages, and it's in the order that it's in. There's a reason why the helmet of salvation is on the back end, and it's the last defensive weapon that we have. There's a reason why. Because most of us would have got saved and said, hey, here we go, and we'd charge hell with a squirt gun. And we'd be defeated just like that. First step, my friend, the very first step in the evil day, the very first step in the battle that we have, in the spiritual warfare, and the gridiron of our life, is to have our loins girt about with truth. That is the first step to a sure victory. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, I thank you, dear Lord, for who and what you are and all that you've done. We ask you this evening to please give us guidance, grace, and mercy. We thank you so much for this word that you've given us, for the testimony that you allow us to have. We thank you, dear God, for the truth of the precious word of God. We thank you for giving us guidance. We thank you for opening up the doors of heaven. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending thy only begotten Son that gives eternal life through his death, burial, and resurrection. So, Lord, we give you all the glory and praise tonight. Allow us to soak deep into the word this evening. Allow it to seek into our hearts. And again, Father, we thank you for all you are and all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray this evening. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Sharon Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.